greenplanet.com/greenplanet.
Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Good afternoon, everyone. How are you?
Very good, Karen.
Yeah, have you had a good week?
Probably very busy.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
we
everything.
Both work in schools and it's been a very rainy week and windy some days. And I just find behaviour-wise things get a bit manic. probably from me too as well. So, yeah, a bit tired, but that's all right. Friday's a good day. That's when we do our show.
Yeah.
And we've got some really, like, let's move on to some fun topics. Friday, I call it. Today, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the legume family. And
yes.
We are focusing on peas and beans today.
Right. And Karen's going to get all sciencey on you.
Yay!
And she's going to be talking about nitrogen fixation, which is the process what happens inside of the legumes. Fascinating. I can see you just cringing over there, Selena.
I want to know.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. That was just your face. Okay.
Can I get some words in as well?
You may.
Okay, so I'm not going to go all scientific, but I'll just give you a little bit of a background to get your head around the ideas of this huge, huge plant family called Fabaceae family, from which peas and beans are a part of.
Is that a fancy word for legumes?
Yes.
Okay.
Fabaceae.
Good to know.
It sounds wonderful. Like
it does.
It's a fab plant family.
I feel like I'm going to name my next child that or something.
Yeah. the Fabaceae family does not only include the peas and beans, but also vines and trees.
Okay.
And climbers.
Oh.
And all these from the Fabaceae family, or the legumes, also fix nitrogen. So
really?
That is probably the most salient feature of the Fabaceae family.
So what's a common vine, or is it all vines? Are they all nitrogen fixing?
Well, peas are actually a vine.
Yeah.
And beans are a vine too. So there's those ones.
What about?
Wisteria.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yep. But that's a woody vine.
Oh, I love wisteria.
What about in terms of shrubs and trees, we've got the acacias. Or the wattles.
Oh, yeah.
And also the cofi.
And, what's that other one I was thinking of that starts with A? But it's non-legumous. No, it doesn't, it's not in that family then, sorry. But, there are non-legumous. There's a few that are non-legumous that nitrogen fix as well.
Oh, okay. There's extra. Wow. There's also lupins, indigo plant, and did you know that gorse is one?
Really? No, I did not.
Ah.
Oh, I think I may have been told that a while back, but yeah.
Yep.
I think once upon a time I did,
You can sort of tell, aside from looking at the roots, which we'll get into later with the nitrogen fixing, that they are from this family because the leaves are sort of frondy shaped, like they are. They come out, like, in two wings. They're, like, fern-type looking, ferny-type leaves.
Yeah. Would you say that about clover?
Yes, because it's kind of, sort of, divides into two.
Okay,
two
all right,
three.
Yep.
And also the flowers. So if you look closely at the flowers, the flowers have sort of two parts to it. One's like a keel, like a little heel or lip, and then you've got the petals coming out from that. So, yeah, just look a bit closely at the flowers. And
I am
see
going to.
They're kind of like, if you're thinking of a like a sweet pea, you know, that shape. It's very pretty shape, actually.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think back. It just feels like so long since I've seen a sweet pea. I know they're just around the corner, though. I'm going to have a good look next time.
Look at wisteria. You can picture a wisteria, can't you? And the flowers of that, they kind of drooping long.
Yeah, they do.
Beautiful pendulums or pendules. They call it racemes. So the individual flowers of that are all...
They
sort
are.
Of like have little pouches almost.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, lovely.
That so all this That's is grouped into the Fabaceae family.
Cool.
And so these plants, as we will discuss, are fixed nitrogen essential to the green health of our plants. Mm-hmm. And they can be used as green manure crops.
Yeah.
Or you don't even have to cut them down at the end. But actually people do like use the trees as green manure. So they'd cut the or crop the trees but leave the roots in the ground so
yeah.
that the roots will continue to
I think the aim is I discussed it a little bit in the fixation discussion, but the aim is to kill the plants like so that when they die the nitrogen is then released and
yeah.
Right.
You're getting it.
Yeah.
How about we talk about the nitrogen fixing and then we'll go on to actually growing peas and beans.
Our plants of the week.
Yeah.
How about we do it? And then that'll be kind of cool because then when it gets to the plants of the week, people will have a real true understanding of what you're talking about.
Yes. Hey, listeners.
So, nitrogen fixation is a process by which molecular nitrogen in the air... which is, I'm sure most people would be familiar with nitrogen, carbon dioxide, mm-hmm. oxygen, and I think there's a few other ones, but in the air. So that is converted into ammonia or related nitrogenous soil compounds.
Okay.
Atmospheric nitrogen is a relatively non-reactive molecule that is metabolically useless to all but a few microorganisms. However, it is the process of biological nitrogen fixation that converts the nitrogen, which has diffused from the atmosphere to the soil into ammonia, which is then converted to ammonium. So the nitrogen is actually diffused into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in like gaseous form. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what happens is the legumes then do their business and they fix it.
Okay.
And turning it into ammonia, which is then turned into ammonium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in soil chemistry, which is highly, highly important in pretty much everything earth-related,
mm-hmm.
I think all plants, you require to get the nitrogen into them for the green side of it, you require this... I found out through the study there's three forms you can get, which are urea, mm-hmm. nitrate, and ammonium. Now, the fertilisers that they synthesise, or man-made fertilisers, are a big one is ammonium nitrate.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So that's a big popular one because you've got both your ammonium and your nitrate forms
mm-hmm.
of nitrogen. Ammonium is slower to release, whereas nitrates are quickly absorbed by plants, very easily, readily absorbed. It's a little bit of chemistry there for you. But yeah, interesting, nonetheless. So inorganic nitrogen compounds such as ammonium are required for the biosynthesis of all nitrogen-containing organic compounds such as amino acids, proteins and nucleic acids. So for this reason, it is fair to say that nitrogen fixation is essential to life. Being part of the nitrogen cycle, this process is therefore essential to agriculture, as well as being relevant to the manufacture of all nitrogen compounds, including explosives, go forks!
Oh, yes.
And fertilisers and some pharmaceuticals too.
Okay.
So there you go. And anyone that's keen on making bombs. Right. So it's true though. The bomb industry is massive.
Well, I was thinking thunder and lightning that said to fix nitrogen.
Yes, I was just about to touch on that.
Yes.
Yeah. And the earth nitrogen fixation is carried out naturally in the soil by microorganisms. So that's earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And these organisms are termed diazotrophs and all biological reactions in the earth involving the process of nitrogen fixation are catalyzed by iron-containing enzymes called nitrogenases. Again, enzymes are everywhere. Most things, especially, you know, of the organic nature require enzymes.
Okay.
So that's a major one. I don't think if we didn't have those, yeah. Of interest, and this is what we're the lightning.
Yeah.
Nitrogen fixation occurs naturally in the air by means of lightning.
Oh.
And it is then by means of rainfall that the ammonia and nitrate enter the soil.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because obviously when you've got lightning, you've got rain to go with it. Yes. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
I just love it when there is a big storm and then afterwards there's the rain and... Yeah.
And I never realised that it was all contributing to our soil health too. That's cool.
Yeah.
Also worth mentioning is that of the presence of nitrogen fixation in the marine world.
Oh, okay.
One such marine-dwelling microorganism called cyanobacteria actually plays a key role in both the carbon and nitrogen cycle of the biosphere and is capable of fixing twice as much nitrogen compared to that on land. It's you know, it's so weird because, like, we do a gardening show, but there's so many times when we've touched on things that are also in the marine world,
yes,
which is not a world I'm a huge fan of. The ocean kind of freaks me out a bit. And but it's, you know, it's given me a real appreciation of that world. And, like, yeah, the oxygen produced from the oceans is immense too, more so than the
forests.
So, root nodule symbiosis. Mm-hmm. This is the process which happens in the legumes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some nitrogen-fixing bacteria have a symbiotic relationship with plant groups, especially legumes, but not strictly root legumes. I discovered there are... But I'm not going to get too much in that because we're focusing on legumes today. But that's just an interesting fact.
Oh.
They contain symbiotic rhizobia bacteria within the nodules in their root systems, producing nitrogen compounds which help the plant to grow and compete with other plants. The root nodules, being abundant sources of nitrogen, make legumes a relatively rich source in plant proteins. So that's why things like your chickpeas... And your, what are those other ones you put in soups? The flat seed.
Lentils.
Lentils, they're a legume.
Yeah.
They're all really good, especially for people that are vegetarian that aren't getting their protein through meats.
Yeah.
Because of that nitrogen source in there.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's the science behind that. When the plant dies, all of its remaining nitrogen in the form of amino acids is released back into the soil. Once in the soil, the amino acids are converted to nitrate, which is awesome because it's so readily absorbed, making the nitrogen available to other plants. The fixed nitrogen is released. I think I just reread that, but yeah. And so this is why it serves as a fertilizer. And in many traditional and organic farming practices, crop rotation involving legumes is common. By alternating between legumes and non-legumes, sometimes planting non-legumes two times in a row and then a legume, the field usually receives a sufficient amount of nitrogenous compounds to produce good results. It is for this reason that legumes are sometimes referred to as green manure, as you touched on just before.
Mm.
So it wasn't too scary.
No.
I was a little bit like, oh, I don't know if I'm up for this morning.
No, but the ammonia thing that I got something from there. I thought, how does it actually get into absorbed? So, yeah.
Yeah, it's all done by the microorganisms. So when we do chuck those synthetic ones on, they're still having to do a certain amount of work to convert it into, they call it nitrogen assimilation or something, so that the plant's actually able to then
and
use
then
it. So that's why our soil health is so, it's fascinating. I'm becoming quite interested in soil chemistry and stuff.
I kind of think, why do we need the chemical fertilizers if we are growing our legumes?
Yeah, well, I reckon that would make for a really good topic, don't you, Selena? We should really look into the pros and cons of synthetic fertilizers.
Because you hear a lot about, like, nitrate leaching.
Yeah, because it's so readily absorbed. or not absorbed, it then runs into our water supplies and can be very dangerous and cancer forming and create growth in areas along, you know, water banks where you don't want growth, and it causes that funny sort of algaes to become prolific in the waterways and all that kind of thing. It causes quite a bit of havoc. And the other thing is with urea, I can't remember the exact chemical structure of that. It's got a carbon in there and an oxygen as well, and your nitrogenous, whatever. But that, long term, that's a very popular synthetic fertilizer used. They fly it. I remember on the farm. Yeah. They used to drop it all over the place with planes. That long term can actually cause your soil to be acidic.
Oh, okay.
And therefore, you can have problems with your soil acidity long term, and then that can affect the microbes
in your soil. Get a big boost the initial crops. And
yeah. So again, not forward thinking. Yeah. You're thinking about your short-term gains.
So you might see a lot of these fertilizer artificial ones in your garden center, and they'll say how much N, how much P and K, N's the nitrogen. And yeah, if you put too much on.
It's a big topic and one I would like to get into, but should we? Because there's lots of other synthetic. You've got your phosphates as well, and your, all those. So I think that there is, and I don't know, I need to look more into it. I don't want to be one of these people that goes, it's bad, 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 because I'm pretty sure I eat a lot of foods that have been grown using them. Because I don't always buy organic.
No.
I think it's definitely worth.
So let's
crack into our plants of the week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. He'd spent about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia and a nun.
Our plant of the week. Well, I've put two in here, but I'm more going to focus on the beans of the peas and beans. Okay?
You've confused me.
So peas and beans are our plants of the week. And because they're part of the legume family and we eat them, I just thought we should have a more closer look at them and how to grow them.
Oh, I thought you were going to choose between one, peas or beans, or have a preference. Were you?
I'm just going to touch, well, my preference is for the bean at this time of year. Because
you put me on the spot. I was like, which one are you going to choose? Oh, which one are we doing?
No. And I'm just mentioning peas because at the moment the beautiful sweet peas are flowering.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
Have we got some down at the community garden?
Well, there's a lot in my own garden.
Yeah.
But you can't eat sweet peas.
No.
They're just
really pretty. Okay, I'm going to have a look in my garden.
Okay. So the beans for us gardeners that we're most familiar with, there's three types, and there's two that we might want to grow or think about growing right now. Okay, you've got your broad beans, which is the green manure crops, as you mentioned, which grow in the cool season, and they are actually the best ones to fix nitrogen.
Yeah.
But they're
yummy too, though.
Oh, they're yummy.
So you can get food from them.
Yes.
And you can, once they die off, they'll benefit. Oh, what a great crop. Yep.
So you just cut them down and put their growth back into the soil, and their roots will stay in the soil, and they will give your next crop nitrogen. So that's wonderful. But at the moment, though, it's not the season to plant those ones. We're looking at the climbing beans or the runner beans and the dwarf beans.
Right.
So you can plant both, or you can choose one or the other. Depends on your situation. The climbing beans need something to climb on, so you've got to maybe have a trellis or some bamboo poles, make a teepee or something.
Yep.
The dwarf beans don't, so depends on your situation.
So the dwarf beans don't need any sort of structure, not even a short one?
No, all right, no, just, they're fine. They
grow about a foot?
They grow in little bushes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bush beans or dwarf beans aren't so good at fixing the nitrogen as the broad beans. They fix a little, but not as much, which is why you probably wouldn't grow them as a green manure crop.
Okay.
Strictly.
I think a really good green manure crop is just, as an aside, is lupins. Isn't it supposed to be a really good one?
Yep, that's a real good one.
Yeah.
Anyway. But you can't eat lupins, that's the thing.
So back to something we can eat.
So back to something edible. Actually, I think the green beans of the climbing and dwarf variety are much tastier than broad beans.
Oh, yeah.
It depends on your preference, I think.
I just think broad beans, I just always think, like,
tough and
my mum's English, and I just said dinner, you know, like,
you gotta
soggy, big, tasteless
broad
beans.
You gotta pick them when they're young.
Yeah, because she'd just freeze them, or she'd bumper crops. And they produce well, actually. They do, eh? There's a thing. You grow broad beans, you're guaranteed of a crop.
You've got to be picking them all the time. So be prepared. Like, get your basket and your hampers out when you're growing these.
And your hat. You could be there a while.
Yeah, and every day you need to pick them, because then when you pick them, then they'll produce more, and then, it keeps going. When you're growing them, you can start growing them now. They're not so good transplanted, so grow them direct where they are going to grow.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Direct from seed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as they grow, you can successively plant them, so you can continue
to plant. So why the heck are the gardens then just growing them in pots then, plastic pots?
I have no idea. Beans are so easy to grow, and the seeds are quite big, so you're not fiddling with them.
Yeah,
so
I'm not really
understanding what the market is.
I just don't think we're educating people.
So easy to grow. Children can grow them.
Yeah.
They love growing beans.
Yeah. I reckon, being in schools, we should dedicate at least one block every day to growing stuff. Anyway. I'm not biased at all.
No.
But yeah.
You can even sprout them in jars.
Yeah.
And that goes for peas as well, to eat the bean sprouts. So if you don't want, you don't have a plot of ground to grow them on, you can sprout them.
Wow. Another sprout you can sprout that's a legume is the alfalfa sprout.
Yeah.
I discovered.
Very tasty.
Yeah.
Think about them, because if you go into the bulk food barn or wherever you get your grains and your
you can go to any supermarket now, pretty much.
And there will be beans and lentils.
Yeah.
You can actually try growing them, try growing something different, like soybeans.
Oh, right. Yeah. But I don't know if you'd be able to grow them from, like, the bulk. I'm pretty sure they would be treated in some way.
Mung beans
aren't they?
No.
So they just dry really easily and then they...
Yeah.
Okay. It'll probably say it on the sign anyway.
Yeah. So I'll just focus on the dwarf beans, because I think that's the one I'm going to try growing this season again. Last year I grew butter beans, which were climbing up. But this year I think I'm going to go for the dwarf beans, because I won't need a frame for them.
Yeah. And they're smaller.
Yeah, they're smaller. They're easy and quick.
But the actual bean, is it like a smaller bean, or is it just a dwarf because it's like a bush?
Dwarf because it's a bush.
Oh, yeah.
The beans are pretty much the sort of average size. It doesn't mean that the beans are small.
Okay, right.
So right now is a good time to grow them, because the soil is nice and warm. Plant them straight in the ground where they have to grow, do successive sowings, make sure that they have enough shelter and the soil is kept moist.
And do they need lots of sun?
It's good to have them in sun, but you could get away with planting them in partial shade.
Okay.
Because as the summer goes on, they'll get, be too hot for them in Auckland, so... you could get away with a little bit of shade.
And especially if you're growing the climbing kind, they will probably grow towards it anyway.
Yeah. Keep picking them, because then they'll crop more.
Mm-hmm.
And you just eat them or store them in the fridge.
So when you pick them, I just remember Mum and my aunties getting just a sharp knife.
Yes.
And then they're just whip it off.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yep.
Is that the best way?
You can use a knife or you can snap them off with your thumb.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter as long as they're picked.
Just make sure you've got a good sized basket.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you leave a few on to keep the seeds for the next season because, you know, you want to keep the best ones so you can grow them on next time.
Especially if it's been a successful crop and you've, it's survived.
Yeah.
Maybe you're neglect from time to time and it's produced lots, that is definitely worth a seed.
Mm.
Keeping that seed tucked away, dry it in the cupboard, in a paper bag, and then you're good to go. And keep some for your friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beans come in many colours, like you got yellow ones, purple ones, green ones.
I've grown purple ones before.
Yeah. And you can get really, really long, long ones.
Yeah.
The Asian variety ones.
Oh, right.
As long as your arm.
Holy.
So it depends on the variety that you like. So there's plenty of varieties around.
What's that variety that's like the sort of like round like a finger and it'd be about 10 cents? They have them in bags quite a lot in the supermarket. What's that variety? Because they're not flat so much as the ones I've seen in the garden or gardens.
Oh, string
bean. Maybe it is a string bean.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The difference between the, they call them French climbing beans and then there's runner beans. So if you're growing the climbing ones, of course, make sure you've got your trellis or your bean poles or whatever in place before. So the runner beans, they're bee pollinated, but the French beans, they're self-pollinated. So there's a different in the kind of way that they produce their beans.
So when they're self-pollinated, that means that they've got a male and female part.
Pretty much the same conditions as the dwarf beans, but just make sure you have a climbing frame for them.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, well.
And then you
that
have
sounds simple enough.
Wonderful, tasty dish.
And healthy soil.
Yeah.
Healthy body and healthy soil.
Yeah. And then at the end, when you just cut them down, leave the roots in the soil, then they'll nutritiously feed whatever's coming next.
Awesome.
Mm.
Well, that sounds like something maybe I could and the listeners could manage, I reckon, Selena.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Get your children to do it.
Yeah. I will, so long as I can keep them sitting still for 5 minutes.
You can tell
that
them.
That would probably be a great, great task, actually.
Tell them the story of the Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, well, that's great, Selena. Thanks for sharing that. I think that's about all we've got time for. Have we got time for anything else?
Maybe just to say about some good companions for beans.
Okay.
So good companions for beans are carrots, cucumbers, cabbage, lettuce, peas, parsley and cauliflower.
Okay.
And also potatoes.
Yep.
And sweet corn. The beans can actually grow up the sweet corn.
And they're not so good?
Yes, so don't plant these near your beans, they don't like them. They don't like onions, garlic, fennel, leeks and gladioli.
Okay, thank you for that, Selena. So anything strong, smelling, pungenty, is that a word? Don't plant your beans next to them. Great. Okay, well that's it for today.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.
Keep your beans happy and I'm going to go plant some.
Awesome, me too.
Yep. Happy gardening, everyone.
See you all.